please to come up now. We're going to continue with our observation of Advent. And we have been lighting candles on this Advent wreath for a couple of weeks now. And we're going to continue that. And so the lighter's right back here. And if y'all would like two of the purple ones and that pink one right there, I would appreciate it. Thank you, Marvin, Carol, Dan, and Dwight. So the church has been celebrating Advent for centuries. And what we do to celebrate that is light the candles in a wreath. And when we do that, we're reflecting on the coming of Jesus as told to us in Scripture. And so the circle of the wreath, that represents God's unending love for us. Just like a circle has no beginning and no end, it just keeps going all the time. That's God's love for us. It's just continuous. And so that's what the wreath represents. The evergreens, that represents Jesus' gift of eternal life for us. It's only found in Him. And so the lighting of the candles, that announces that Jesus is the light of the world. And this is a dark world, and we need Jesus to light it up so that people can see the truth and the hope that can only be found in Him. So the first 2 weeks, we lit candles representing hope and peace. And this week, we're lighting the pink candle, which represents joy. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.'" And so this verse is from the story of Jesus' birth. And we just studied this passage last week, as a matter of fact. The angels appeared to the shepherds in the fields to announce that a baby is born and he's laying in a manger. And the angels described Jesus' birth as good news of great joy. It was good news of great joy because Jesus was born to be our Savior. The Bible tells us that right after this announcement was made to the shepherds, that the sky lit up with a multitude of heavenly angels, and they sang glory to God because Jesus had been born. So we're talking about joy this week in Advent. And the greatest joy that we have as Christians is in our salvation. And that salvation comes through only Jesus Christ. So as we continue through this Christmas season, let's make sure that we remember where our real joy comes from. It's in Christ alone. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to use this tradition of Advent to point us to your coming again. We celebrate that you were born and that you came the first time, but we look forward to you coming again. And help us to be a people that are prepared for your coming. Help us to share the joy that we have in you with everybody around us. And I pray that as people see joy in the lives of the church, that they will be drawn to you and they will seek to find that joy in you. We love you, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So thank y'all. Y'all can return to your seat. At this time, we'll go ahead and dismiss the kids to Children's Church. And everybody else, if you would, open up with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. All right, so we're going to continue looking at the characters of Christmas. This morning, we're going to be looking specifically at Zechariah and Elizabeth. And one thing stands out to me when I read about Zechariah and Elizabeth from Luke chapter 1. Zechariah and Elizabeth were well acquainted with waiting. Many of us are well acquainted with waiting, right? We know what it's like to wait on stuff. That's just part of life. I would say with the pandemic that we've been in for months now, every single one of us is in a season of waiting right now. We're waiting on this thing to get better, and we're waiting on this thing to come to an end, at least an that's controllable. So we're all kind of in a season of waiting. And although we are all well acquainted with waiting, we don't always wait well. We don't always wait well. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. While we look at Luke chapter 1, we want to talk about waiting well. How can we wait in a way that honors and pleases the Lord? Waiting in general, that's just a part of life. So if you've got any kind of military background, then you're very familiar with the phrase, hurry up and wait. That's just the way of the military, right? So you get there early so you can wait even longer. That's just the way the military does. Always in a hurry to get somewhere, even if you got to wait for hours. Hurry up and wait. And even though we have to wait a lot, we don't like to wait, do we? Anybody like to wait? I didn't think I'd get any hands on that. I heard a story about a lady. Her car stalled in traffic, and so she lifted up the hood. She looked in vain, trying to figure out what was causing the issue. And the whole time, the driver behind her was just laying on the horn, just hard, relentlessly laying on the horn. And she finally had enough, so she walked back to the back of her car, to his car, and she said very sweetly, she said, "I don't know what the matter is with my car, but if you want to go look under the hood, I'll be glad to stay here and honk your horn for you." Right? Nobody likes to wait, right? We need patience when we wait, and patience is something that many people don't have. I've read that the prayer of the modern American goes something like this: "Lord, give me patience and give it to me now." That's kind of how we think. Like, I want it. I want what I want. I want it right now. I want it yesterday. We're not even patient about becoming more patient. That's just kind of how we are. We don't like to wait, but waiting is a part of life. Statistics show that the average person spends close to an hour of every day waiting on something. So whether that's waiting on an elevator, waiting on a traffic light, waiting on your turn to pay at the grocery store, waiting for a table at the restaurant, and then when you get your table, you wait on them to bring your food, right? Waiting on people to return a phone call or a text message. Heck, we even wait on the microwave, and the microwave is supposed to keep us from waiting on the oven, right? One of my favorite preachers is Tony Evans, and he shared one time that when you add up all the waiting a person does over a lifespan of, say, 70 years, the average person will spend more than 3 years of their lives waiting for something. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? That's a long time to wait. So we're all going to experience times of waiting, so I believe it's important for us to understand how to wait well. Even in something as mundane and frustrating as waiting, right, we can make the choice to wait in a way that honors and pleases the Lord. Before we begin in Luke chapter 1, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is always a joy to open the Word of God. I pray, Father, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. I pray, Lord, that you just anoint each and every one of us to take what you would say to us through Scripture, apply it in our hearts, and live it out in our lives, God. Speak to us today. We will be careful to give you all the glory. We love you, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 5. This will be verses 5 through 7. Verse 5 says, "In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest of Abijah's division named Zechariah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in God's sight, living without blame, according to all the commands and requirements of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years." So we're going to pause right there. I've got 3 points from the text. We're going to continue making our way through Luke chapter 1. But 3 points from the text for us to remember so that we can wait well. 3 points to remember. Here's the first one. Righteousness does not exempt us from from waiting. Righteousness does not exempt us from having to wait. Zechariah and Elizabeth, according to God's word, they were both righteous in God's sight. And this was before the cross, right? So this righteousness came from confession and repentance of sin, and also giving offerings and sacrifices according to the Mosaic law. So these verses aren't telling us that Zechariah and Elizabeth were perfect and without sin. They're not saying that. What they do tell us is that Zechariah and Elizabeth dealt with their sins in the way that God commanded them to in the Old Testament, and they were therefore righteous because of that. But that righteousness did not stop them from having to wait. They'd been praying for a child for many, many years, and they were at the point where it seemed like that the time for that to happen had come and gone. And you can just imagine the weight of that disappointment, how heavy that was. We've all felt disappointment from prayers that seemingly have gone unanswered. Whether it's praying for a child and being unable to have one, or praying for a loved one that's sick, we're praying for them to be healed and to get better, and instead they get worse. We've all experienced that. That's just real life. And it hurts, doesn't it? Zechariah and Elizabeth, they probably felt like they deserved to have their prayers answered. You know, I've certainly thought thoughts like that before. Something like, you know, God, I've tried my hardest to live for you. Why did this have to happen? That's a pretty normal place for our minds to go when we're hurting and when we're waiting. The truth is, everyone hurts sometimes, and everyone has to wait sometimes. Both the Christian and the atheist experience the pain of waiting. Waiting for something good, but experiencing something bad instead. Everybody experiences that. Matthew 5:45 says that God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. See, all of us live in this sin-cursed world, and pain and suffering and waiting, that's all a part of the human experience for everybody. Now, we would love for our closeness with God and our obedience to God to keep us from having to experience these kind of things, but that's not how life works. If life was made easy and pain-free and struggle-free when we got saved, if that was the result, then people would come to Jesus looking for an easy, pain-free, struggle-free life instead of coming to him to experience his love and his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace. So the truth is, born-again Christians will get to experience that pain-free, struggle-free life. But it'll be in the next life, not this one. We have the wonderful hope of heaven to look forward to. But for now, struggling and hurting and, yes, even waiting, that's just part of this life. We're all going to wait in this life, and we can wait in a way that pleases the Lord when we remember that righteousness, if you're a Christian, then you've been made righteous by Christ, by his blood that was shed on the cross. So I'm not talking about righteousness that's earned in any way. I'm talking about imputed righteousness from Christ to us. That righteousness doesn't exempt us from waiting. We all have to experience it. Let's continue in the text now. We're going to pick up with verse 8. Verse 8 says, when his division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, it happened that he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. And we'll pause right there. So the next thing for us to remember so that we can wait well is this. Number two, we must remain faithful while we wait. We must remain faithful while we wait. Twice a year, Zechariah would leave his home for about a week while his division of the priesthood would serve in the temple. And verse 9 tells us that Zechariah was chosen by lot to go into the holy place and burn incense. Now, this was sort of a once-in-a-lifetime privilege. And this, for any priest that got to experience this, this would be the greatest moment in the life of any priest, to enter in into the next to the altar of incense and to be chosen to go in. It was a great honor. And that's what Zechariah was experiencing. And I think it's significant that Zechariah never stopped serving in spite of the long season of waiting that he and Elizabeth had been in. They'd been praying for a child, still didn't have one. They thought that they had long since passed the age of being able to have one, and yet he was still serving. He didn't stop serving because he didn't get the answer to his prayer right. I think that's pretty significant. There's no doubt that he and Elizabeth had an ache in their hearts for many years, but they kept on serving and they kept on worshiping. So the question for us is, will we remain faithful while we wait? Whatever you're waiting for in life, whatever prayer you've been lifting up and you haven't received that answer yet, will you remain faithful while you wait? Will I remain faithful while I wait? Will we continue to trust God in spite of prayers that seemingly go unanswered? See, the sad truth is many people don't remain faithful. Sometimes people will say something like, you know, what's the use? God doesn't care enough to answer my prayer, so why should I care enough to be faithful? Right? So they become disconnected. They stop praying. They leave their Bibles on the shelf to collect dust. It happens a lot. I've heard so many stories of people that were hurt, whether it was hurt by something between them and God or hurt by somebody in the church. And they leave and they're gone. Disconnected. Listen, we've got to do everything in our power to keep from drifting away like that. When we're hurting, that's the time to lean into the Lord, not to pull away from Him. We got to keep trusting Him. Anybody can trust Him in the good times. Will we trust Him in the hard times? Let's look at a verse in Psalms together. This is Psalms 9 and 10, or Psalms chapter 9, verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you because you have not abandoned those who seek you, Lord. Those who know your name trust in you because you have not abandoned those who seek you, Lord. We may feel abandoned at times in life, but we've got to keep our trust in God no matter what we're feeling, because God will not abandon those who seek Him. Amen? Amen. That's what the Word says. We can trust Him. Zechariah kept on serving the Lord. That's a great example for us to follow. But just like me and just like you, Zechariah was far from perfect. So there's more that we can learn from his life in this passage. We're not going to read verses 10 through 17. Let me sum them up for you. An angel appeared to Zechariah by the altar of incense, and he tells him, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. You're going to have a son. That son's going to have a very special calling. He's going to go ahead of the Messiah that's been prophesied about, and he's going to help make the people prepared for his coming. Now, this was incredible news. But Zechariah worried that anything that sounds too good to be true is probably too good to be true. So let's pick up again with verse 18. Zechariah responds to the angel, how can I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. In spite of the fact that an angel was standing before him, giving him the news that he and Elizabeth are going to have the son they've been waiting for, Zechariah was having doubts. He was looking at his age, he was looking at Elizabeth's age, and he was coming up with all kinds of reasons to doubt what he was hearing. Although Zechariah had continued to be faithful in serving the Lord, his faith had grown weaker. This is important for us to see and understand. We can't allow waiting on an answer to prayer to cause our faith to become weak. Let me say that again. We cannot allow waiting on an answer to prayer to cause our faith to become weak. No matter what we experience in life, we've got to remember that what is impossible with man is possible with God. So we've got to keep on trusting and keep on believing. So chapter 1 goes on to tell us that Zechariah was unable to speak during Elizabeth's entire pregnancy. And when the time came to circumcise the child, this was 8 days after the birth, the ones who came to do that, they just assumed that the child's name would be Zechariah. And they were surprised when Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. So they asked Zechariah, who still couldn't speak, so he motioned for them to give him something to write with, and he wrote, his name is John. And at that moment, his ability to speak returned to him. See, we all make mistakes, every one of us. We all fall short. Zechariah was no exception. But Zechariah responded well to his mistake. That's a great example for us. Right? When we make a mistake, we don't give up. We pick ourselves up and we respond well. That's what he did. So wrapping up this second point, let's remember, if we're going to wait in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, we've got to remain faithful while we wait. Let's turn our attention back to chapter 1 and skip all the way down to verse 76. Verse 76 says, and you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. All right, the third and final thing for us to remember so that we can wait well is this. Number 3, we must trust God's timing while we wait. We got to remember that righteousness doesn't exempt us from waiting. We've got to trust God's timing while we wait. The verses that we just read are part of a larger section where Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to prophesy about the coming Savior. And he also began to speak about the one who would prepare the way for the Savior. And we can see from this section of verses, which is Zechariah's prophecy, that he understands how special Jesus is going to be. And he also understands how significant the role was that his own son, John, was going to play. Zechariah understood there's something special going on here. I think it's important for us to see a really important truth here. Sometimes God withholds good things in order to give us what's best. Sometimes we'll ask for something that's good, not a thing in the world wrong with it. And God will withhold that, and that hurts. But he has something that is best for us in mind. Zechariah and Elizabeth had wanted a child for years. At any time during their adult lives, God could have allowed them to have a child have been good. It would have been a really good thing. But that did not happen for them. They had to wait. And then they had to wait some more. It wasn't easy to wait, but it was worth it because God eventually answered their prayers and gave them a son. And this son of theirs would go on to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. So we can trust God's timing because God truly knows what is best for us. We always have to remember God's ways and our ways are different. Very familiar verse, Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." See, we tend to rely on what makes sense to us in life, right? A lot of times we'll call it going with our gut, right? What does my gut tell me in this situation? And a lot of times that's a pretty good way to go about things. You know, we can a lot of times rely on our gut. But God has authority over everything, including what I think about, what my gut says. God's the sovereign of the universe. He is in control. No matter what I feel, no matter what I think, God is in control. We got to keep that in mind when we're in these seasons of waiting. And everything inside of us tells us that what we want should be happening right now. When we're waiting, we need to remember these verses we just read in Isaiah. In fact, these would be great verses to memorize. God's thoughts, God's ways, they're higher than our ways. And because that's true, we can trust Him when He tells us to wait. We can trust Him. I came across something this week. There's no author credited with it, so I guess it's from an unknown author, but it goes like this. When we pray a prayer that is not right, God will say no. When we pray a prayer and we're not right, God will say grow. When we pray a prayer and the timing is not right, God will say slow down. But when we pray a prayer and all is right, God will say go. God's timing is always right. We can always trust Him. Whatever we take to the Lord in prayer, we've got to remember that we can trust Him no matter what the answer is or how long the wait might be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for the men and women of the Christmas story. We're thankful to be able to study them each week. We're thankful to see what we can learn from them, the lives that they lived, how they experienced the birth of our Savior. We're thankful for Zechariah and Elizabeth that even though they had to wait, they trusted in You. Most of all, we're thankful, Lord, that You are faithful. You love us and You never leave us or abandon us. And we can trust You, God. Help Your people to trust You more. God, we thank You for the gift of a Savior. That's what Christmas is all about, the birth of the Savior. We're so thankful, Jesus, that You came the first time, and we're so thankful, Jesus, that You are coming again. Help us never to forget. Help us to live with our eyes fixed on You, trusting in You, and looking forward to Your coming again. Heavenly Father, have Your way during this time of response. Lord God, just work in the lives of each person.